You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
All rise. District Court, again, attention.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right, we can have our jurors return, please.
All right, please. Here's our president again for you,
Arne. Thank you. Please be seated. Okay, we're back on the record on CR 2221-1623. Completed our mid-afternoon recess. Ms. Blake, if you'd like to continue with direct, you may. I'll remind the witness you're still under oath.
Yes, Your Honor.
And thank you, Your Honor. I think where the state had left off is we were asking to publish, I believe it's Exhibit 108A.
And you may do that.
And Detective Mattingly, we were talking about the Fitbit information that you received. On this first slide here, can we talk a little bit about what we're seeing? What information did this provide you?
So this provided the Fitbit account for Tammy Daybell. And we looked at trying to verify the account as Tammy's. We were able to use that or do that by using her email, tammy.daybell@gmail.com. And we also used her date of birth that was inputted along with the listed friends that was on her Fitbit site, which were her three of her children, Emma, Leah, and Seth.
And that information is not showing on this slide, but was additional information provided through Fitbit?
Yes.
And then on this, we see a user created. Do you see that date on there?
On the user create, the second one from the top?
Yes.
Yes.
What did that indicate to you?
That was when the account was created.
And then if we look down a little bit, there's a paired date. I think it's the second from the bottom. And that is a different date than the top one, correct?
Yes, it is.
What did the paired date indicate to you?
To me, that indicates the most recent device that was paired with Fitbit.
So Tammy may have had an account before, but received a new device.
She may have had a different device and got a new device, yes.
So when she got the new device, that would create a different paired date?
Yes.
And were you able to see at the bottom there the last sync date?
Yes, the last sync date is 10/20/2019 at 2029.
Mm-hmm. And again, Tammy Daybell was pronounced dead on October 19th of 2019?
Yes, the day before this.
So the last sync date was the day after her passing?
Correct.
And this Fitbit device itself was never recovered? Yep. Outside of looking to assign it, who this device belonged to, you'd also talked about you were looking to try to find information regarding the heart rate. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So we're looking for the heart rate to determine a better exact time or a closer time that Tammy passed away.
And were you able to get information regarding the heart rate from the Fitbit return?
No, we were not. The device, as it's listed up there, is a Alta device, which I learned is their base model. It'll show the heart rate as it's going on. You can sit there and look and see the heart rate, but it does not record with Fitbit.
Then I think one of the other things you indicated you wanted to look at was possibly sleep patterns or any sleep data that was recorded.
Yes.
What were you able to determine in relation to the sleep data?
The sleep data was very sparse from day to day or month to month. Like it would, for an example, this may not be accurate, but it might show on the 17th that she slept for an hour and a half. On another day, it might show 20 minutes, but on most days, it didn't record any sleep patterns.
Did that lead you to believe that she did not routinely wear it at night?
That's what it led me to believe, yes.
So ultimately, were you able to gain much information outside of learning that she didn't wear it at night?
Beyond that, that was all I could figure out.
And then what were some of the other things that you looked at in relation to the Fitbit data?
So the other things that we were provided were the step counts from day to day, month to month for the year.
And if we look at this next slide, can you talk about what we're seeing here?
So these are the steps per month that was recorded by Fitbit when Tammy wore her device.
And when we see it starting with October and goes down to January and then a grand total steps, was this January of 2019 through October of 2019?
Yes.
So it's going in the opposite order.
Correct.
When you reviewed this, did you make any determination with regard to those steps in relation to your investigation?
So when I was reviewing the steps, the numbers to me looked fairly big, but I didn't know if what that meant as far as activity. Was it above average, normal, or below? I wasn't sure. So looking at those numbers, I was able to also research via the internet and found out the CDC recommended guidelines were recommended to have at least 10,000 steps per day. And these were the amount of steps that she took for those months.
And out of those months, was she generally above average?
Out of all the months, generally she was above average. There were a few months that she was not.
And the months that she was not above average, was she close to the average?
Yes, she was.
Any indication to you that there were months that she severely slowed down in activity?
Nothing that was severely slowed down, no.
And when we look at that last month of October, again, Tammy was pronounced dead on October 19th in the early morning hours. Is that correct?
Yes.
So that is not the full month.
That is not a full month.
From your review of things, did it appear that she was on track to be above average for the month of October of 2019?
Yes.
Did you look at any additional things in relation to Tammy's health outside of the Fitbit? And maybe I'll back up. Did you conduct any interviews with anyone that knew Tammy?
Yes, I did.
Did you conduct interviews with friends and family of Tammy?
Yes.
And through those interviews, did you learn anything that would support the statements made by Chad Daybell on October 19th of 2019 regarding Tammy's health?
No.
Generally, what did you learn through your investigation regarding Tammy's health?
Found that she was reported as being very active, a go-getter.
That's Blake.
When you conducted the interviews, did you interview multiple of Tammy's friends or coworkers?
I did.
Did you interview some family members?
Yes.
Out of everyone you interviewed, was there any indication that Tammy's health was slowing down?
None.
Was there any indication that Tammy had seizures?
None.
Any indication Tammy had low blood pressure?
No.
Any indication Tammy had fainting spells?
No.
So from all the interviews you conducted, anything to support the statements made by Chad Daybell on October 19th of 2019?
There was none.
As part of your investigation, we talked about some life insurance policies that Tammy had, and we've gone over the life map a little bit. And I believe you already testified, but there was another life insurance policy?
Yes, there was.
And what was that one?
Primerica.
And Your Honor, I have what's been marked as State's Exhibit 122. It's my understanding that this is being admitted by stipulation, and it contains the business record certification.
All right. Exhibit 122 has been offered. Is there any objection? All right. It'll be reviewed by counsel.
And I will indicate there's a copy for counsel, the court, and a courtesy copy for Your Honor.
Thank you.
And Detective Mattingly, I'll just have you look through those pages. And do those appear to be an accurate depiction of documents you reviewed?
They are.
And in relation to the life insurance policies, were you able to determine the total amount of life insurance on Tammy Daybell?
Yes.
What was the total amount of coverage?
So on the Primerica insurance, it was $300,000.
And do you recall in relation to LifeMap what the total was?
$130,000.
And when you looked at those policies, on the Primerica, was Chad also an insured?
He was.
What about the LifeMap? Was Chad also an insured? Only Tammy?
Only Tammy.
Who was Tammy's beneficiary for the LifeMap?
Chad Daybell.
Who was Tammy's beneficiary for Primerica?
Chad Daybell.
Through the investigation, were you able to determine if that life insurance was ever paid out?
Yes.
And what did you learn?
I learned both of them had been paid out.
And who were they paid to?
To Chad Daybell.
I have no further questions at this time.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. Which one?
I guess I maybe do just need to clarify. Was that last exhibit admitted?
I don't think we actually got that admitted on the record. So you reviewed it. Is there any objection to it being admitted? We've now discussed.
I just don't know if we officially put that in the record. So I would move for its admission.
Thank you, Ms. Blake. It is admitted now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Let's try that again. Good afternoon.
There you go. That sounds great. Thank you. Good afternoon.
You mentioned that you had reached out to speak to the family members, the immediately family members, and you knew who those are, right?
Yes.
You know about Emma, right?
I do.
What are the dates and times that you tried to reach out to Emma to talk to her about this case and the Fitbit and all of that?
I'd have to go back and look. I couldn't tell you that.
You have notes to go back and look that could refresh your recollection?
I might, yeah.
Okay. Those at the prosecutor's table?
Yes, they are.
With the court's permission, could I allow the detective to refresh his recollection?
Yes.
Your Honor, could I ask for that last question to be repeated back?
Go ahead.
Last question.
Could I have the one before that? Thank you.
And it'll be the one before that, I think, too. There's monitor.
Try to reach out to her about the data and Fitbit and all of that.
Thank you.
I don't have those dates.
I'm sorry?
I don't have those dates.
Oh, you don't have any dates in your notebook reflecting that you tried to speak with Emma Murray?
No.
Do you have any recordings or any body cams or anything that would help you in determining whether you actually ever did talk to Emma Murray?
Yes, those were recorded.
Those were recorded?
Was recorded, yes.
Attempts to talk to Emma Murray?
Yes.
Okay, but you don't know the times?
I don't.
You don't know the frequencies? No. The frequency with which you talked to her, how many times?
I talked to her one time.
Do you know what time that was?
It would have been in the afternoon after school.
Yeah, what month was that?
No, that was so long ago, I can't tell you an exact month.
Okay. You approached her after school?
I did.
Okay. Did she try to talk to you?
No.
Okay. And that was recorded, you said?
Yes.
And how was that recorded? By body cam or an audio?
Audio.
Okay. And you still have possession of that audio?
Yes, we do.
Let's move on to Garth. How many times did you try to talk to Garth?
I was not assigned to talk to Garth.
Okay, so you never spoke to Garth about any of these? You didn't talk to him about this Fitbit or anything else, right?
No.
Okay. And you're the one who was the responsibility to do the research and the investigation on this Fitbit, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And as far as the insurance is concerned, on their mother and Chad, that area was within your exclusive purview as well. Is that correct?
We shared that.
With who?
That would be with some of the FBI to review the numbers.
Okay, but essentially you were the contact guy and the initial guy to look into it. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you didn't talk to Garth. What about Joe Murray?
No, he refused as well.
Okay, he refused? When did you try to talk to him?
I did not.
Okay.
We split those assignments up.
Okay. Okay. So Emma Murray is Chad's daughter, right?
Correct.
And Joe Murray is married to Emma, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you know Joe Murray because you went and the family you're talking about, you talked to Ed and Charlene Murray, right?
I don't know if I've ever met Joe, but I have.
I didn't ask you that. I asked you whether you talked to Ed and Charlene Murray.
That one, yes, I have talked to them.
And you interviewed them, right?
I did.
So when you're talking to the prosecutor about contacting the family to discuss this, really what you're talking about is the Emma's in-laws, right?
In addition to, yes.
In addition to who else in the family?
Talked with Sam or Tammy's sister, Sam.
Okay.
And her husband, Jason.
Okay. They didn't live in proximity to Chad, right? They didn't live within close proximity.
Close proximity? No, they did not.
Okay. And you're aware that Emma lived kitty corner from Chad's house, right?
At the time, yes.
Mm-hmm. You're also aware that Emma and Tammy had a very, very close relationship, right?
I've heard that, yes.
Right. And Joe lives kitty corner with his wife, Emma, directly kitty corner from Chad's house as well, right?
Correct.
Okay. And you're also aware the other person you didn't talk to was Garth. And Garth actually lived with Chad and Tammy for a significant amount of time. You remember that?
I do.
You didn't talk to Garth, though, right?
No.
Okay. And then Chad's other child, Seth. Did you ever talk to Seth?
No, I did not.
Okay. Did you ever talk to Chad's daughter, Leah?
No.
Did you ever talk to Chad's youngest son, Mark?
No.
Okay. But the last three, Garth, Seth, Leah, and Mark, you didn't even reach out to try to talk to them, did you?
I did not. That was for somebody else to do.
Okay. But nobody else reached out to talk to him either. Are you aware of that?
No, I believe they did.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll see then, right? So the interesting thing I noted was that on the MapQuest insurance, it talked about the last known health issue, right? Remember that when the prosecutor brought that up with you?
I do.
Right. And he put down October 18th, right?
Yes.
Right. And you were aware by reviewing Officer Greenall's report that that was the night that Chad talked about Tammy throwing up and having cough fits, right?
Yes.
So that would have been the last known health issue that she would have had the night before she passed away, right?
Objection, Your Honor. This misstates the evidence.
Sustained.
You're aware that Chad had to take care of Tammy in the middle of the night because she was having fits and throwing up the night before she passed away, right?
Pardon me. That's what I had heard, yes.
Okay. All right. Now, you reviewed the medical reports, correct, of Tammy Daybell?
I did.
And those were pretty sparse reports, right? Teton was only a couple of pages, right?
Yes.
Right. And on Teton, the first page, and the jury will have a chance to look at that, it talked about Tammy's anemia, right?
As a past history, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it didn't show anything in the future that Tammy's anemia was ever cured or resolved. You never found any information about that, did you?
None was disclosed as being resolved. It was just listed as past, meaning to me, it's done, it's over.
Well, you don't know if it's done or over. Are you a doctor?
I am not.
All right. Do you know whether anemia could actually be cured or not?
Through an online search, it says yes, it can be.
Okay. Yeah. But it takes a certain amount of medication, it takes a certain amount of treatment, it takes a certain amount of prescription drugs, and a series of treatment to at least stabilize it. That's what you read, stabilize it, right?
No, I didn't read that about stabilizing.
Well, the question is, where's that medical history that she treated it and cured it?
I don't have that.
Well, you don't have it because it doesn't exist, right? Correct?
I don't know if it exists or not. We just don't have that.
Okay. But what you do have is that Tammy had a habit of not wanting to go to the doctors to get treatment for anything, right?
Objection, Your Honor. States facts not in evidence.
Sustain.
Are you aware that Tammy did not like to go to doctors and didn't like to get treatment for various medical maladies?
Objection, Your Honor. Calls for speculation.
Overruled.
You can answer that, sir.
Would you repeat the question, please?
Tammy didn't like to go to the doctor, right?
Correct.
Okay. And at the time that she was discovered to be dead, are you aware of all the herbal and medicinal medicines that were in her cabinet at that time?
Yes.
Yeah. She was doing a lot of self-treatment with oils and herbs. Do you recall that?
I do.
Okay. Okay. She was also taking Prozac as a result of that, right? A result of some depression, excuse me.
Objection, Your Honor, misstates the evidence.
Sustain.
Were you aware that she was taking fluoxetine?
I have difficulty with that as well. Fluoxetine.
Fluoxetine. Thank you.
Yes.
I'll say it wrong 10 more times, and everybody's watching me say that, right? Fluoxetine. You were aware she was taking that?
Yes.
Generic form of Prozac?
Yes.
Okay. Mm. And that was for depression. And in addition to taking the fluoxetine, she was also self-treating with essential oils, with herbs, and a variety of other remedies, self-help remedies. You're aware of that as well, right?
Objection, Your Honor. Calls for speculation.
I'm asking if he's aware of it, Judge.
Overruled.
Are you aware of it?
Yes.
Okay. And you're also aware that at the time that Chad was interviewed, he was sobbing, he was crying, and he was emotional, right?
I heard that.
Yeah. And at the time, he was still able to say, listen, she had fainting spells, she had dizziness, she had all of those conditions that she described in Officer Greenall's report, correct?
Yes.
Now, your wife dies, and you discover her because she falls out of the bed. You call 911, and then police officers start interviewing him.
Objection, Your Honor. That's a narrative the state would move to strike.
Sustained.
So Chad's sobbing and crying, and you're expecting him to recite exactly what her medical history is at the time that he's emotionally distraught about his wife's death, right?
Objection, Your Honor. Argumentative, and it's a narrative.
Sustained.
The fact that that Chad Daybell was sobbing, would that be a position in your experience where someone would be able to effectively provide information about their medical history and all of the things that may have been going on with their wife?
Through my experience, yes.
Oh, so when someone's emotionally distraught, they're able to recite everything in your experience, right?
Objection, Your Honor. Ask and answered.
Sustained.
Okay. And then we have Garth Daybell, who was described as quiet and reserved, and there really was no effort to talk to him, right? Right?
That I don't know.
Okay. And as someone who's going through shock, as described by, Bread the Die, would you expect that he'd be also able to dictate or explain to you what his mother's health history is?
Objection, Your Honor. Calls for speculation.
Overruled.
You can answer it.
Given time, yes, through my experience.
Given time, right? After he gets over the fact that they discovered their mother dead on the floor, after that, you give him enough time, he could probably get around to it, right?
Yes.
Okay. You don't know how much time that would be, though, right?
It varies from individual.
But your experience doesn't tell you that it's instantaneous, right? Correct. To the rest of the insurance, correct?
She would be available, or she had that option to do
right. So. She could have done it, or she could not have done it.
Yes.
And that's very cost-effective insurance. Did you look into that?
It is.
Very inexpensive, right?
It is.
Okay. Now, you talked about not being able to locate the Fitbit. Can you tell me who was wearing the Fitbit on the 5 or 6 months that you put those numbers up on the board?
I cannot. Mm.
We don't know who was wearing that Fitbit. We don't know if it was Emma, right?
We don't know.
You didn't talk to Emma. You don't know who was wearing it.
I do not know.
You don't know how it was used or how it was. What you're doing is you're explaining to this jury that what you have are basically numbers, right?
I do have numbers.
And what you don't have is you don't have who was using it, how they were using it, or when they were using it, correct?
We know when they were using it.
Okay. Now, I know that you talked to Ed and Charlene, right?
Yes.
So you have some insight a little bit about Tammy and her use of that Fitbit, right?
I do.
Right. And as part of that, you were able to learn that there was a family competition when it came to the Fitbit. Remember that?
I do.
And do you remember when Charlene mentioned on the recording that you taped, and thank you for recording it, that Charlene said that she would go to bed at night and she'd be...
Objection, Your Honor. Hearsay.
Sustained.
Were you able to gather some information as to the competition between Tammy and the rest of the family regarding the Fitbit?
Objection, Your Honor. Calls for hearsay.
Overruled.
Okay. You can answer.
Yes.
And at this point, you were also able to determine, as a result of this competition, that certain activities took place. Certain people would go to bed at night being ahead on their Fitbit device. You learned some information about that?
Yes.
Okay. And through your investigation, you learned that that person was Charlene Murray, right?
Correct.
Okay. And you also learned, as a result, that the next morning, surprisingly, Charlene would find that she was now behind on the Fitbit race, right?
Yes.
And do you recall which family members were involved in this so-called competition?
So if I remember correctly, it was Ed and Charlene and Tammy.
Okay. And in interviewing the Murrays, Ed and Charlene, this was a little bit of a... Tammy was a competitive person.
That's what I understand, yes.
Right. Didn't like to lose, right?
Yeah, correct. She did not.
Okay. But you don't know how that Fitbit was used when you calculated these numbers, correct?
Correct.
And you don't know who was using that Fitbit and running those numbers up, right?
I do not.
And you also don't know the manner in which those Fitbit numbers were accumulated on the particular device. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Judge, I think that's all I have. Thank you.
All right, that concludes cross-examination. Ms. Blake, if you'd like any redirect, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor. Detective Mattingly, you've indicated it's fair to say this was a joint investigation.
Yes.
Which agencies were involved?
We had members of the FBI, Rexburg Police Department, Chandler, Arizona, and Gilbert, Arizona, along with Fremont County.
At some point, was the Attorney General's office also involved?
Yes, they were.
And when it came to, you were asked a lot about interviews with Chad's children just now.
Yes.
And I think you'd started to say that different duties were split between different agencies and investigators. Is that fair?
That is fair.
Did you review and discuss the case with other officers?
Yes.
Based on your investigation and your understanding, were any of Chad's kids, did any of Chad's kids come forward with information?
Overruled.
Did any of Chad's children voluntarily come forward with information?
Not one.
Do you recall attempting to speak with Emma about the results of her mother's autopsy?
Yes.
Would that have been around February, sometime in February of 2021?
It could have been. I don't know.
Sometime after the autopsy results were received?
After the autopsy results, yes.
Was Emma willing to hear about those results?
No.
Was Emma willing to speak with you?
She was not.
Did Emma provide you any information about her mother's health at that time?
Nothing.
You were asked about knowing that Tammy didn't like to go to the doctor. Do you know where that information originated?
I believe that came from Chad and his children.
You didn't personally know Tammy.
Is that correct? I did not.
So the only information you had to go on is what was provided by Chad and or his kids?
Yes.
And you were asked similarly if Tammy would self-treat with homeopathic medications or other things. Do you know where that information originated?
That'd be through Tammy's family, Chad, and her children.
So you don't personally know whether or not she used those homeopathic medicines?
I don't.
Or treatments?
I don't.
Just what's reported by Chad and his children?
Yes.
And then talked a lot about the Fitbit. On that first slide, we saw that it was registered to Tammy's Gmail. Is that correct?
It was.
And I think you'd also mentioned seeing Tammy wearing that in Facebook photos. Do you recall that?
I do.
Any reason to believe Tammy wasn't using the Fitbit?
I don't.
And Your Honor, I'm going to ask if I can be handed State's Exhibit 152. Your Honor, it's previously been admitted. I would ask to be allowed to publish it.
You may.
Trying to make that a little easier to read. You were asked about Chad telling individuals on October 19th that his wife had become sick the night of October 18th. Do you recall defense counsel talking to you about that?
I do.
And then you were asked about the form and where he indicated October 18th of 2019 was when she first started having symptoms.
Yes.
And I know that's difficult to read, but under the medical information, can you read what is above where he wrote October 18th, 2019? And if you can't, I can have the exhibit handed to you.
No, I believe I can make it out. When did health of deceased first become impaired?
So it indicates when did the health first become impaired, correct?
Correct.
And what was Chad's response again?
October 18th, 2019.
I have no further questions.
All right. I don't know if we got outside the scope of any direct or cross, so I'm going to deny recross. That'll conclude your testimony then. Is this witness going to be recalled by the state potentially?
The state would reserve the right to recall Detective Mattingly.
Okay. Okay. So Detective Mattingly, you remain under subpoena. You may be recalled to testify in this case because of the court's exclusionary order. Please refrain from viewing any of the evidence that is presented going forward between now and the time you take the stand. Don't discuss your testimony or others' testimony between now and then, and I'll ask you about that when you retake the stand.
You wish.
All right, thank you. All right, the state can call its next witness.
The state will call Detective Kaikamanu.
Solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
All right. Court would note as the state's case agent, Detective Kaikamanu, is not subject to the exclusionary rule, so I won't make my normal inquiry. And Ms. Blake, you can proceed with your direct if you wish.
Thank you, Your Honor. Detective Kaikamanu, can you please state your name for the record?
Vincent Keone Kaikamanu. Last is K-A-A-I-A-K-A-M-A-N-U.
Where are you currently employed?
Madison County Sheriff's Office.
And I've been calling you detective, but what is your current title and or position?
I'm currently the chief deputy for Madison County Sheriff's Office.
At the time you were involved in this case, was your title detective?
Yes.
Are you okay if I call you detective today?
Yes.
Where were you employed prior to working in Madison County?
Fremont County Sheriff's Office in Idaho.
How long were you employed with them?
About 18 years.
What was your title or position when you left the Fremont County Sheriff's Office?
I was a sergeant over detectives and school resource officers.
And what position did you hold prior to that?
I was a regular detective and then a patrol deputy prior to that.
Do you have any specialized training in order to be a law enforcement officer?
I do. I went through the Idaho Post Academy. I currently hold my intermediate, my basic, my advanced, and supervisor certificate. Throughout the years, roughly around 2,500 hours of training, and training is always ongoing.
And in October of 2019, you were working in Fremont County, correct?
Yes.
And what was your title at that time was detective?
Yes.
Do you recall if you were working on October 19th of 2019?
I was the on-call detective that night.
Do you recall missing a call that night or in the early morning hours?
Yes.
Why did you miss that call?
Earlier that night, I was called out to assist Idaho Falls PD in an Officer Wall's shooting incident.
Do you recall approximately when you were called out to assist in that?
Around 11 o'clock p.m. on the 18th.
And when did you finish up with your assistance in that matter?
I got home around 4:30 a.m.
After missing that call, at some point, did you end up making contact with the deputy?
I did.
And who was the deputy?
Deputy Allie Greenhalge.
Did you learn why she had called you?
I did.
What did she call you about?
When I made contact with her, she informed me that she was on an unattended death.
And as the on-call detective, did you always respond out to an unattended death?
No.
When would you respond out?
We would respond if there's anything suspicious. After talking with the deputy that's on scene, we'd go over certain things. If there is anything out of the ordinary, any forced entry, anything wrong with the body, anything that was suspicious to them and out of the ordinary.
When you returned that call, let me back up. And what is an unattended death?
An unattended death is a death that's not under a doctor's care.
Is it typical for law enforcement to respond out to an unattended death?
At that time for Fremont County, not all the time.
And if someone did respond out, was it generally a deputy to start with?
Yes.
And then if necessary, a detective would show up?
Yes.
When you returned the call to Deputy Greenalch, did you learn if she'd been in touch with anyone else?
I did. I was informed that she had contacted Detective Mattingly. Mattingly?
When you reached back out to Deputy Greenalch, did you ask her questions?
I did.
What were some of the things you inquired about?
Kind of just what I spoke about. I asked her if there's, again, anything out of the ordinary, any forced entry into the house, anything that was different with the body that she thought was suspicious, things of that nature.
At that time, did she inform you of anything suspicious?
She did not.
And did you learn whether Detective Mattingly had made the decision to respond out?
I did.
And what did you learn regarding that?
That he did not respond either.
Do you know if there was anyone else on scene or anyone else that arrived?
Later on scene, I found out that Deputy Coroner and the Coroner of Fremont County was also on scene.
And who is it that determines whether or not an autopsy is performed?
The Fremont County Coroner would be the one.
And the Fremont County Coroner was on scene to the best of your knowledge?
Yes.
And is it fair to say that on October 19th of 2019, outside of the initial response, no investigation was opened into Tammy's death?
Yes.
And had you heard the name Tammy Daybell before October 19th of 2019?
No.
Had you heard the name Chad Daybell?
No.
Had you heard the name Lori Vallow?
No.
Alex Cox?
No.
JJ Vallow?
No.
Tylee Ryan?
No.
Subsequent to October 19th of 2019, did you become involved in an investigation into Tammy Daybell's death?
I did.
Do you recall approximately when you became involved?
I got involved with Tamara Daybell's death approximately around March of 2020.
Do you know when the Fremont County Sheriff's Office became involved?
They received a call for assistance of an Arizona PD, Gilbert PD, October 31st, 2019.
When you became involved in March of 2020, were there other related investigations pending?
Yes.
What were those?
There was the homicide of Charles Vallow in Chandler. There was the search of the two missing kids, JJ and Tylee. And the attempted shooting of Brandon Boudreaux.
Is it fair to say that this became a joint investigation?
Yes.
Did you assist with other aspects in those joint or some of those other investigations that were related?
Yes.
Specifically, which ones did you assist with or which one?
My main focus was Tammy's. And then I did assist with locating and helping with JJ and Tylee.
As part of your investigation into Tammy's death, did you review an incident that had happened earlier in October of 2019?
Yes.
Do you recall the date of that incident?
That was October 9th, 2019.
Were you personally involved in that investigation on October 9th?
I was not.
So after the fact, you looked into that?
Yes.
As part of that, did you review police reports?
I did.
Did you also review a call into 911?
I did.
And did you review a dispatch call?
Yes.
And do you recall what the nature of the report from October 9th of 2019 was?
It was a suspicious event, and our deputies were dispatched to that.
And did it involve a report of a gun or a paintball gun being pointed at someone?
Yes.
And Your Honor, I believe both of those calls were admitted into evidence yesterday, and I was going to see if I could get both of those exhibits. And Your Honor, those have already been admitted as exhibits. I'm going to ask to publish State's Exhibit 232A.
232A can be published.
911, where's your emergency?
Yes, so my mother-in-law, who's had just gotten home about 10 minutes ago, was unloading her car, and she thinks a man, but she's not on the essential TNC because they're wearing a ski mask. Came up to her with a paintball gun, but they started shooting at her. It wasn't loaded, and it didn't, nothing came out of it. But he kept asking what he was doing, he would respond, and then suddenly, after we pulled out your husband's table, you ran off.
Okay, what's the address? Are you there? Hello? Are you still there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay, now I can hear you. What's the address?
It's 199 North, 1900 East, Rexbury, Idaho, 83440. That's my address. She lives in Acorn. I don't know her address.
Okay, I need her address. What's her location?
I think it's 201. I think is her address.
201 North 1900 East?
North. Yep.
Does she know which direction he ended up running?
We headed east, back behind the house.
Okay, and did she give you a description of the clothing?
I didn't get one from her. I can't follow that.
So what is your name?
My name is Joseph Murray.
Okay, is this a good phone number for you?
Yep.
Okay, I am sending a deputy out to your mother's home.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay.
Bye-bye.
And Your Honor, I would next ask to publish State's Exhibit 232B.
You may.
I apologize. Now I'm having tech issues.
October 9, 2019, 21 hours, 49 minutes, 20 seconds.
Fremont County Sheriff's Office.
Hi, I need to report something.
Okay, go ahead. What's the address?
Okay, 202 North, 1900 East, the corner with the blinking yellow light on Salem Highway.
Is it a suspicious person?
Yes.
Okay, what was he wearing?
He was all dressed in black, and he had a ski mask on.
And he said the blinking light now is where you saw him?
No, he's gone now, because I pulled up into our driveway, and I was getting stuff out of the backseat of my car, and suddenly he was there, and he had a paintball gun, and he was going to shoot at me. And I kept asking him what he was doing so I could tell it was a paintball thing. And then he just kept doing it, so I yelled for my husband, and then he took off running around the back of my house.
Okay, give me just 1 minute. Stay on the line with me.
Okay.
October 9, 2019, 21 hours, 50 minutes, 28 seconds.
And that was North 1900 East?
Yes.
October 9, 2019, 21 hours, 50 minutes, 43 seconds.
Do you know what direction he was going?
He went behind my house and it showed us out here, and I was in the house and got my husband and son. And then they went out and looked, and he was long gone by then. So he was on the north side of my house is where he went to get away.
Okay.
He didn't say anything, or he just kept at, like he was holding the gun like he was, you know, had a rifle and was shooting at me. So, but nothing came out of the gun either, so I don't think it was loaded.
Okay, what is your name?
My name is Tammy Daybell.
Okay, I will pass your information on to my deputies. We actually just had a previous call about this individual, so they're out in the area looking now.
Okay, yeah, I think it was my son-in-law who lived diagonal from us that called you guys already.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to make sure it got reported. So,
let's see, and what's your son-in-law's name?
Joseph Murray.
Okay, yep, it was him.
Okay.
So, all right, I have a deputy that will be out at your home here shortly.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
I can hand those back to the bailiff, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you.
Detective Kaikamanu, do you recall reviewing those calls?
Yes.
And particularly, there's the call from Tammy Daybell into dispatch. Is that correct?
Yes.
And she describes the incident.
Yes.
Did you hear how she referred to the weapon?
Yes.
How did she refer to it?
When she first called in, she referred to it as a paintball gun. Throughout that conversation with dispatch, she also describes it as a gun and a rifle.
Did you also, I think you've already said, but did you review the reports in relation to that incident?
Yes.
Are you aware of a search that was conducted on an apartment associated with Alex Cox in Rexburg?
Yes.
Were you part of that initial search?
I was not.
At some point, did you learn of some firearms that were recovered during that search?
I was aware.
What, if any, action did you take in relation to those firearms that were recovered?
From my understanding, those firearms were taken by Rexburg PD for safekeeping. After the search warrant was served, they cannot leave those there. During the investigation on the attempted shooting on Tammy Daybell and then her death, I ended up writing a warrant to seize those weapons and bring them into Fremont County for evidence.
Did you in fact seize those firearms?
I did.
Do you recall photographing one of the firearms?
Yes.
Your Honor, I have what's been marked as State's Exhibit 281A. I have a copy for counsel, a courtesy copy for Your Honor, and the exhibit. I would ask that the witness be shown a copy of the exhibit. Thank you. And Detective Kaikamanu, do you recognize that firearm?
Yes.
Is this, in fact, one of the firearms that was seized?
Yes, it was.
What about this particular firearm caught your attention, if anything?
The ones that were seized, this one, to me, looking through them, resembled or could be looked at as a paintball gun during this incident of the attempted shooting on Tammy.
And Tammy had also used the word rifle.
Yes.
Is this, in fact, a rifle?
It is.
Did you take this photograph?
I did.
And is it an accurate depiction of the firearm seized?
Yes.
Your Honor, I would move for the admission of State's Exhibit 281A.
No objection, Judge.
All right. Exhibit 281A is admitted.
And Your Honor, I would ask to be allowed to publish.
You may.
And Your Honor, just to have a clear record of it, the state had begun to publish our copy. I've swapped that out and we have published the official exhibit.
Okay, thank you.
But it was an exact copy of it.
All right, we'll note the actual exhibits now being published for the jurors.
Thank you, Your Honor. Detective Kaikamanu, I believe there is a laser pointer up there if that's helpful. You indicated that this could resemble a paintball gun. I want to talk to you a little bit about your experience with paintball guns. What experience, if any, do you have with paintball guns?
Growing up, I shot paintball guns all the time. And then getting into my law enforcement career and getting on the SWAT team, we utilize paintball guns and paintball rifles that are set up similar to AR-15s for our training.
And what experience do you have with assault rifles?
Again, before my law enforcement career, I'd shoot them. And then once I got into law enforcement, we were issued a AR-15 and we would train with them. We train with them in SWAT training and we go to the range and shoot.
And you talked about that you were issued an AR-15. What is different between this and an AR-15?
So this rifle that you guys are looking at is actually a 6.5 Grendel. The ones that I was issued is an AR-15 that shoots 223s or 5.56. So the caliber is just that different. The lower is all the same. You just need to switch out the upper.
And based on your experience with both assault rifles and paintball guns, what part of this firearm did you believe could appear to be a paintball gun?
So if you look right here where this scope is, it is on the top of the rifle. On a paintball gun, the hopper is sometimes off to the side a little bit, just right about there on the rail. But in my experience, they've made paintball guns so advanced now that it could be on the top or on the side.
And do they make paintball guns to some paintball guns to resemble assault rifles?
Yes.
And what is the hopper on a paintball gun? What's the function of the hopper?
The hopper on the paintball gun is where you put your paintballs inside, and that's what holds them. And when you shoot them, that's what comes out of the barrel.
And we will come back to that exhibit in a bit.
And Judge, could I have a reminder of what number that was again? I have a 281A. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. Thank you, Your Honor.
As part of your investigation, we talked earlier that on October 19th of 2019, you had not heard the name Alex Cox. Is that correct?
Correct.
At some point, did you learn the name Alex Cox?
Yes.
And was that through the investigation?
Yes.
Who was Alex Cox in relation to Chad Daybell?
Alex Cox was Chad Daybell's brother-in-law.
And before Chad and Lori were married, what was the connection between Chad and Alex?
Before they were married, I couldn't tell you.
So Lori Vallow was the connection between the two?
Yeah, Lori Vallow.
And ultimately they became brother-in-laws?
Yes.
As part of the investigation, do you recall looking at an account, some searches done on a Homer J. Maximus account?
Yes.
Who was that account associated with?
Alex Cox.
And you did review some of the data in relation to some Homer J. Maximus searches, correct?
Yes, I reviewed some of it.
Did you review the whole thing?
I did not.
Did you focus on a specific time frame?
Yes.
And what time frame did you focus on?
Roughly around the time of the shooting, or the attempted shooting, excuse me, on October 8th, 2019, and a few days after that.
Is it fair to say that there were quite a few searches on this account?
Yes.
And were there other searches on the days that you reviewed?
Yes.
In preparation for your testimony today, did you create an exhibit?
Yes.
Do you believe that the exhibit would assist in your testimony today?
Yes.
Do you believe it would aid the jurors in understanding?
I do.
Your Honor, I have what's been marked as State's Exhibit 107B. Similar to others, it is on a jump drive, but I do have courtesy copies of the slides printed for counsel, the court, and Your Honor. And I would ask that the witness be shown the printed out 107B.
Thank you.
And if you could look through those slides, Detective, do those appear to be an accurate depiction of the PowerPoint created?
Yes.
Your Honor, I would move for the admission of State's Exhibit 107B.
Any objection?
Judge, for demonstrative purposes, there won't be an objection.
All right.
And Your Honor, this is a summary exhibit.
Okay. As a summary exhibit, Exhibit 107B has been admitted.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would ask permission to publish.
You may publish.
And Your Honor, I have the HDMI cable plugged in, but this is not my screen showing.
Okay. We will see.
And Your Honor, I'm just looking at the time. I will indicate it's still not showing my screen. And so where it is 317, I don't know if the court would like to consider convening early today, and I will work with IT to make sure that I have it ready for tomorrow.
There won't be any objection to that. I understand.
Thank you. It does make sense. We've got some kind of a tech gremlin going around this afternoon. We'll try to sort that out for tomorrow. Council, and I know you had it just working, so we'll work with tech. So with that, we are going to conclude evidence for the day. Council, as we do that, and for the jurors, I want to indicate some information on our schedule going forward. Tomorrow, well, I'm going to hear some motions outside the presence of the jurors this afternoon. Once we come back on the record after the jurors have been excused, I'm inclined, well, I believe I'll be able to make rulings tomorrow morning on those motions. That may take a little bit of time. So my proposal would be to start evidence tomorrow morning at 9 with the jurors instead of 8:30. Is the state okay with that?
That's fine with the state, Your Honor.
No objection, Judge.
Okay. In addition, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we've got some court staffing issues leading us to take one of our days off next week. And since we know that already, in order for you to make any plans you might on a day off, I'll advise you that we are not going to be conducting court on Tuesday, which I believe is April 30th. That will be a day without trial next week. Otherwise, our schedule will remain as it's been going forward. So that'll be the schedule upcoming in the next several trial days. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, then, before we conclude for the day again, please make sure to follow the court's continuing admonition to not investigate the case, watch media or news coverage of the case. Please don't discuss the case amongst yourselves or with anyone else until you return tomorrow. Thank you for following that admonishment each day. And again, I'll leave it to the marshals who arrange for your arrival times to modify that if it needs to be for the morning, where the jurors won't need to be here for evidence until 9 o'clock. So thanks everyone in the courtroom also for following the courtroom conduct order. And with that, we will go ahead and conclude for today.
All rise, please.
All right, thank you. Please be seated. Counsel, in terms of going back on the record for the motions, let me just first clarify the two motions in limine will go on the record. Yeah, thank you. The motions in limine are still at issue and to be argued. Is that correct? Sorry, Ms. Blake.
No, that was my fault. But I did just realize we still have the witness on the stand. Would the court like to excuse him from the stand?
Yeah, well, I'll be very quick here and then okay. We'll all just break for the day.
Yes, I believe we're ready to move forward on those motions in limine and Mr. Wixom will be addressing them.
Okay, I am going to take a quick break then between now and the time we argue the motions, counsel. And then if those in the courtroom want to watch the motions, those are, we've determined to be public motions. I'm going to suggest we start those in about 20 minutes at about 20 till 4 to argue those motions, as well as the issue the court raised about designating any victims in the case. So that'll be our schedule. We'll take a 20-minute recess here. Come back on for those motions. Thank you.
All right.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.